So this week has been a particularly difficult week for me. See, there's a moment in every NFL season where those of us who are Cowboys fans are confronted with a lot of questions. You know, can I continue to root for this dumpster fire of a team? Do I have what it takes to continue to support the Cowboys? Is there another team that I might root for instead of the Cowboys? And we all go through these dark moments as Cowboys fans. In fact, every year, we go through them. And so this week, I have been doing some soul searching. You'll be happy to know that I will continue to love and support the Dallas Cowboys, as painful as it may be for me, because I believe God is sanctifying me through my fandom of the Dallas Cowboys. I just want to say that. But this morning and over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about questions that you and I have. And specifically, we're going to be talking about insecurities that you and I often struggle with. And so there are a few different kinds of people in the world. One kind of person is a person who just, God bless them, right? They never have moments where they doubt themselves, right? Where they wonder if they've made the right decision. They just kind of like, you know, skip through life, right, without any kind of questions or insecurities ever cropping up for them, right? Those people are sick, okay? They have a problem, all right? They're disconnected from reality. They're delusional, right? Those people are sick, right? Then there are other kinds of folks who the insecurities, the questions about ourselves, the questions about whether or not we can accomplish or do what it is that God has called us to accomplish, those questions are crippling for us. Like, they're always going on in the back of our minds and in our hearts, and we're always, it seems like, always trying to shout down the noise of those questions in our hearts and in our lives. And friends, that is an illness as well, right? That kind of crippling insecurity is an illness that we have to address as well. And then for a lot of us, right, we're going through life and we're normal, and we feel pretty good about ourselves. But every now and then, life will throw something at us, some adversity at us that feels so big and so unmanageable that it will cause us to question ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I've had several of those moments in my life. And because I'm the pastor of this church, you get to hear about them a lot. So I apologize for that. But I can remember the one time in my life, and I've shared this with you guys before, but there was a time in my life where I had really invested, put all my eggs in the basket of this music career that I felt like the Lord was calling me to. And I had been, you know, traveling around the country in a 15-passenger van and hanging out with some sweaty band guys and eating way too much pizza and playing, you know, concerts for people all over the country. And I, with full expectation that the Lord was just going to bless that and it was just going to take off. And the next thing I knew, you know, I was going to be playing for thousands of people and, you know, selling millions of records and, you know, driving in a big tour bus and all those kinds of things. And let me just say, none of that happened, okay? We didn't even remotely get close to any of that happening. And so there was this moment where I had to kind of come face to face with the failure of this music career that I had really invested in, that all my plans for the future were kind of bound up in, right? And so I thought I knew what my life was going to look like. I thought I knew what I was going to be doing. And it just felt like I got to the end of that, and all of a sudden, that wasn't working out. And I had no idea what the way forward was. And I wondered, do I have what it takes? Am I smart enough? Am I accomplished enough? Am I capable enough to navigate this season? I have no idea what the next step is, you know? And I just felt really lost. Like, I felt like I was out in the middle of a desert, and there was no way forward. And what was I going to do? Right? Anybody ever felt that way? Maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe you feel like that a little bit this morning. We all struggle with that at some point in our lives. We all struggle with feelings like that. You ever found yourself in a situation where you felt lost, like you were just wandering around aimlessly? Like, do I have what it takes to move forward in life? Am I enough? Maybe you feel stuck or lost in your career. Maybe you aren't sure where you want to go with your life, like what the next thing is. You don't know what you want to be when you grow up, you know? And trust me, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can still have that as an insecurity, right? Maybe your marriage feels like it's fallen apart and you're stuck in this cycle of hurt and you just don't know how to get out of it. Maybe you're facing a situation with a family member or a child that has you feeling completely lost or hopeless or on the verge of despair. Maybe you're retired, right? And you're wondering, what's the next thing? What does God have for me next? And it just feels like right now you're just a little lost. Well, the good news is the Bible has lots of stories about people who are dealing with insecurity and struggling with these questions that you and I ask. And that's really good news for at least two reasons, okay? The first reason is it means that we're not alone. We're not the only ones to struggle with doubt and to struggle with insecurity and to wonder if we are enough, if we have enough to be able to make it through whatever this season is. We're not alone. And Scripture's clear about that, right? A lot of people all throughout Scripture dealt with that. The second reason why it's good news, though, is that we find it over and over in Scripture. That means that God has something He wants to say to us about it. That He actually wants to address that in our lives because He addresses it over and over and over again all throughout Scripture. And so for you and I, that's really good news this morning. If you're feeling lost, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're wondering if there's any way forward this morning, if that's where you're living, you are in the right place today. Because I believe God has a word for you and God has a word for me. Moses was struggling, y'all. Moses was struggling with a lot of these same questions. Let's just think, if we can, about Moses' history up to the point that we read about him in this passage of Scripture. Okay, Moses had been a part of the royal family. I don't know if you remember or if you've seen The Prince of Egypt, right? His parents, there was an edict in Egypt. Everybody, all the firstborn male children of the Hebrews were to be killed. His parents disobeyed that order. They put him in a basket. They floated him down the Nile River, and Pharaoh's daughter discovered him, right? Adopted him into the royal family. So he had been adopted into the royal family and he had been living his life there. But over the course of time, right, Moses begins to come to understand who he is, who he really is. And the more he learns about that, the more his future in Pharaoh's family felt less appealing and it felt less certain. At any moment, somebody could figure out who he was, right? Or where he came from. And everything could be taken away from him. At any moment, that could be held over his head. And so as he begins to learn about who he is over the course of his life, he feels less certain about that. And it seems less appealing to continue down the same road that he was going on. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like that you had this path that was set for you, this direction that you wanted to go in your life, these plans that you have made for yourself, and then all of a sudden, as you start to head down that road, as you actually start to live that out, you start to realize, man, I don't know if that's going to work. You know, I don't think I can do that. I don't know if I even want to do that. Anybody ever been there? That's where Moses was. Doors have closed on the path that you laid out for your future and you're not sure what to do next. That's exactly where Moses was. And then in the midst of all of that anxiety and that wondering about who he was and about his identity, he makes a really terrible decision. He's defending one of his Hebrew brothers. He's defending one of them in an argument against an Egyptian and he ends up murdering the Egyptian. He commits this awful, terrible sin. And you don't need for me to tell you about this because you and I have certainly been in places where we were anxious about our future, where we didn't know what was going to come next. And while we were in the middle of that situation, we made some of the worst decisions of our lives because we're anxious, because we're stressed. Some of you this morning are dealing with the fallout of choices that you've made as you were in those painful and difficult situations. And that's what we find Moses today. He's made some terrible decisions that radically altered the course of his life. And he finds himself out in the middle of the desert on the run, right? Hoping that that Pharaoh's army and his law won't discover him out there. He's out in the middle of the desert. He's doing the worst job that you could possibly do, and he's working for his father-in-law. Y'all, it doesn't get any lower than that, right? He's gone as far down as he can possibly go, right? And that's where we find Moses, out in the middle of the desert in this terrible situation, doing the most menial task that you can do. And in Exodus chapter 3, that's where we pick up the story. So turn again, if you would, in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. We read this earlier, but let's look at verse 1 through 3 again. Here's what it says. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. So this passage of scripture right here has some very important things to say to you and I when we find ourselves in a place where we have all kinds of doubt and all kinds of question and all kinds of things that are facing us, right? Just like Moses. Here's what God does when Moses is doubting and when Moses is running and when Moses is questioning. Here's what God does. The first thing that he does is God shows up. God shows up. Here's the thing, y'all. Moses was not alone. He wasn't alone. Even though he was on the run, even though he was in hiding, God pursued Moses. God went to Moses, even in the middle of this crazy place that he discovered himself and he found himself. God didn't require Moses to come to him, right? God didn't set up camp in Egypt, or he didn't set up camp somewhere out in the desert, and he didn't just wait for Moses to realize he was there and come to him. God went to where Moses was and spoke to him and revealed himself to him. And so that's the same thing that I want for you to know this morning. When we're in the middle of something really painful and really difficult, and when we're struggling with all kinds of doubt and insecurity, what we most often feel is that we're completely alone in all of that. And here's what the Word of God says to you this morning. Right now, today, in the middle of your wilderness, God shows up. You are not alone. You have never been alone. You have not run so far away that God cannot find you. That's not happened. And so wherever you are this morning, the Lord God is coming to you. The Lord God is pursuing you. The Lord God is sending his love after you. That's the truth of the gospel. That's what the Word of God says to us this morning. So God shows up. But you know what else? God shows up in the midst of our wondering. Moses was with the flocks, right? He was with the sheep. And so what he was doing as a shepherd is he kind of had the sheep out there, and he was just kind of following them around, leading them to good, you know, pastures, to places where they could eat. But he just out with the sheep, just kind of roaming around. So no one could have predicted where Moses was going to be at this moment. Moses didn't even know, right? He was just kind of meandering around trying to find the good pasture lands. If one of Moses' countrymen had wanted to find him, they would have had a hard time finding him because he was deep in the wilderness. That's what the passage says. He's far away, far out in the wilderness, right? And so he's out there deep in the wilderness, wandering around following these sheep. No one knows where he is. He doesn't even know where he is. He had no idea. The passage tells us that this was Sinai, right? The mountain of God. But clearly Moses didn't understand that. He had no idea where he was. He was having his sheep walk around and eat on the mountain of God. He didn't understand that this mountain would have any kind of significance. So he had no idea where he was. He was just kind of wandering around out there. And this is same exact thing happens to you and I, right? We can find ourselves way, way off the beaten path, can't we? And you know, it's never the result of one decision. Like, no one wakes up in the morning and says, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to run way out into the middle of the desert of my life, and I'm going to get lost in the wilderness, right? No one says that. What happens is, though, that over the course of time, small decisions that we make can lead us away from the path that we know we should be on. And before we know it, we find ourselves out in the middle of the desert. And it's dangerous and it's scary out there. Anybody feel like in your life right now that you've been spending the past few months or maybe years of your life just following a bunch of sheep around? No plan? Just kind of wandering aimlessly around, and now you're totally lost and you're not really sure where to go next? This can happen to us. It does happen to us. But it's no accident that this holy place was in the middle of nowhere. I want you to think about that, right? Like for Moses, who grew up in Egypt, who grew up in metropolitan Egypt, okay? Like all of the gods of the Egyptians, all of their temples were in the middle of the city, right? They had big, beautiful temples that were built in the middle of the city. But God, Yahweh, right, the Lord God, he doesn't do that at all. Like his holy place is out in the middle of the desert, way away from everybody. And so for Moses, this had to have been just unbelievable that the Lord God Almighty, the presence of the Lord, would be out in the middle of nowhere. That's not the way God's work. But that is the way our God works. Our God finds us in the midst of our wandering. And we can't wander far enough to hide from God. He actually prefers to show up in these out-of-the-way places. That's what he loves to do. And so if you find yourself in the middle of nowhere this morning, right? If you find yourself in the middle of nowhere this morning, you need to hear the word of the Lord. God shows up in the midst of our wandering. Man, that's good news for people who live in shallow water, isn't it? Right? Good news for people, even good news for people who live in Idaloo. Praise be to God. The Lord shows up in these out-of-the-way places. And no matter where we may have wandered to this morning, man, the Lord God is there. He shows up there. How about this? God shows up in our ordinary lives. Listen to this. God manifests his holy presence in a bush. I mean, come on, right? I mean, he could have chosen to like display his presence and power in the desert sky, right? Light up the desert sky and display his power. He could have chosen to like rain down fire on the top of Mount Sinai. He could have chosen like this amazing display of his power, but that's not what the Lord God does. Moses is out in the middle of nowhere. He wants to speak to Moses, and he decides to use a tiny little bush to speak to Moses. And that's the way the Lord works. It was this ordinary thing, but it was imbued with extraordinary power. It was burning, but it wasn't consumed. So look, I don't know what all this means. Okay, some scholars, they think that God chose to do this because he wanted to show Moses that Moses and the people of Israel were not going to be consumed by their adversity that they were about to face, because the Holy Spirit of God was going to be with them, was going to be in them. And some scholars think that. I don't know why God chooses to do it this way. I really don't think it matters, because I think the main point that God is trying to make here is that he always chooses the ordinary things to reveal himself. He does it all the time. In fact, that's what he's about to do with Moses. Why does he do that? Well, I think maybe he does it so that we're not overwhelmed by his presence. If he were to just show up in all of his glory and his majesty, you know, there's no telling what we might do. We might lose control of our bowels completely. Who knows, right? And so maybe he shows up in ordinary things so that it doesn't just terrify us and freak us out. Maybe he does it so that we won't be distracted by his glory and we'll instead focus on the point that he's trying to make. Maybe he does it to remind us that all of creation belongs to him. Even little bushes out in the middle of the desert on the side of a mountain, those all belong to him. And maybe that's good news for you and I, that we belong to him no matter how insignificant we feel. But God is at work all around us this morning. And I think that's what the Lord wanted for Moses to see and to understand. God is at work all around us, the Lord God. Our job is just to notice, to see where it is that he's already at work. And if we look, we'll see him working in our ordinary lives, in the little things that we do day in and day out. We'll see him powerfully at work, miraculously at work in even those moments. God also shows up in spite of our failure. This is good news for you and I this morning. Remember Moses, he doesn't see God because he's particularly good. Y'all, Moses was a murderer. He just killed somebody, okay? A lot of commentators, when I was studying for this message, a lot of commentators, they want to talk about how Moses had to have been some kind of a faithful guy, right? And that's why the Lord chose him, and that's why the Lord appeared to him. We have no evidence in Scripture that Moses was faithful at all, okay? In fact, all the evidence is the opposite of that. There's no indication at all that Moses is even thinking about God. He's certainly not practicing Yahweh worship. I mean, he had just married a priest's daughter. Priest of what? What was he the priest of? We don't even know, right? I mean, he's not practicing worship. He's a murderer. He's failed in the most horrible way possible. There's no indication in Scripture that Moses was righteous in any way at this point. God doesn't show up and appear to him because he's got it together, because he's got it figured out, because he's some kind of super holy person. In fact, all the evidence is to the contrary of that this morning. And that's good news for you and I. Because listen, you may be far from God today. You may have made some terrible mistakes in your life. You may have desperately hurt people that you care about. You may have failed in the most painful and shameful way possibly imaginable. And God still shows up. Even in the midst of our failure. And I'm not saying that to you because I've heard about it. I'm not saying that to you because I've read about it. I'm not saying that to you because I believe or understand it with my rational mind. I'm saying that to you because I have experienced God showing up in the midst of my failure. And I know he'll do the same for you. God shows up in spite of our failure, but he also shows up in spite of our confusion. Moses sees this incredible thing, this bush that's on fire and it's not being consumed. He's like, what is that? Right? I have no idea what that is. He's totally amazed. He's totally confused. That's why he goes to investigate it. I mean, we'd like to think that Moses was this wise person, and as soon as he saw this bush that was on fire out in the middle of nowhere, that he immediately was like, oh, the Lord God is appearing to me. No, that's not what he does at all. He has no idea what's happening. He's completely confused, right? And even when the Lord begins to speak to him, as we're going to see in a little bit, when the Lord begins to talk to him, he's still confused. He still doesn't have any idea. And then later on, when the Lord starts to reveal to him, here's what I want you to do, Moses is still like, what? Wait a minute, right? I'm completely confused right now. So Moses was totally confused about what was going on. He had no idea what was happening. And for you and I, isn't that good news this morning? That it doesn't matter. Look, we may be completely confused about what's going on in our life. We may be completely confused about what's happening all around us. But here's what's even more important. We don't have to understand everything about God in order to experience the presence of God showing up in our lives. He doesn't wait for us to understand. He doesn't wait for us to have a clear vision or understanding. He doesn't wait for us to finish seminary, right? He doesn't wait for us to study enough passages of Scripture. He doesn't wait for any of that. We don't have to have all the knowledge. We don't have to have all the understanding in order for God to show up in our lives. And this morning, there's somebody here, and what you're saying is, Brad, I hear all this stuff that you're saying, right? I hear that God shows up, right? But here's the thing. I don't even know. I don't know about God. I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I'm totally confused. I don't know what I believe about God. I don't even know if God is real. Listen, God doesn't need for you to believe he's real. He doesn't need for you to believe he's real in order for him to show up and do something in your life. And here's what I believe is happening right now. Right now. No matter what you believe about God, no matter what your thoughts are, even if you don't even believe God is real, here's what's happening right now as we talk. The Lord God Almighty is showing up in the midst of your confusion. He's speaking to you. He's calling you to him. we'll just open our ears and if we'll just open our eyes, we'll begin to see what it is that he's doing. Understanding, wisdom, that all comes. It comes because God gives it to us, but we don't need it in order to experience the Lord God in the beginning. So you don't have to wait until you can clean yourself up, until you can start living or acting right, until you understand enough about God or church or scripture. You don't have to wait for all of that to experience the presence of God and to yield yourself to him. You don't have to wait for any of that this morning. God's showing up in your life because he loves you. So what do we do about all this? There's a truth that we're going to repeat over and over again over the next several weeks. So I'm going to say this to you. I want you to write it down. I want you to remember this because we're going to talk about this truth over and over again. Are you ready? Here it is. My insecurities fade when I trust that God's power is always enough. I want to say that again. I want you to remember this. My insecurities fade when I trust that God's power is always enough. Listen, we may not be enough, but God always is. And we're going to repeat this truth over and over again over the next several weeks until you and I can start to believe it. Look with me, if you would, at verse 4, Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. Here's what happens. Verse 4, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses, here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. So for you and I, all right, God shows up. God shows up in the midst of our wandering, in the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our failure, in spite of all of that stuff, God shows up in our lives. So what do? When the Lord God Almighty, when the Spirit of God shows up, what am I supposed to do this morning, right? Now that God is revealing himself to me, how am I supposed to act? What am I supposed to do? Well, there's some lessons that we can learn from Moses in this passage. The first thing is respond to God. Respond to God. The Lord calls out, "Moses, Moses," what does Moses do? "Here I am," right? And for some of us, that's the initial struggle. The Lord God is calling out to you today. The Lord God is speaking to you today. And for whatever reason, we fight the Spirit of God. We do not want to respond to the Spirit of God. The Lord is saying to us this morning, he's calling out our names this morning. And we're just looking around. Is there somebody else named Brad here maybe that you're talking to? Because, right? We don't want to respond to God. We don't want to respond to God because we don't want our lives to change, because we're not sure what the Lord is going to do with us, because we're not sure what he's going to reveal to us about ourselves. Or I don't even know what all the reasons are. Sometimes it's just that there's a very real enemy that's at work in this world that doesn't want us to be surrendered to the Lord God. And so he puts all this stuff in us that creates all of these barriers so that when the Lord appears to us, we don't want to respond. We don't want to say like Moses, "Here I am." But the first thing we've got to do, if we experience the Lord in the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our failure, in the midst of everything else, when God shows up, the first thing we've got to do is respond to God. The second thing is we've got to revere God. Take off your shoes, Moses. Take off your sandals because this is holy ground. And Moses has to realize, he's got to understand that this ground that he's walking on is holy. The presence of the Lord God is there. And for some of us, that's a struggle for us this morning, right? Like, that's why we gather. Do you know that? That's why we gather in a place like this, so that we can practice worship together. We can practice just standing before the holiness of Almighty God. And when we come before Almighty God, there's only one way that we can come to him. We can't come before Almighty God upright in our pride. When we come before Almighty God, we do what Moses did, right? We have to cover our face because he's so awesome. He's so majestic. He's so powerful. When the Lord shows up, we respond to him, but we also revere him. We know who God is, and we know who we are. We respond to God. We revere God. Lastly, we remember God. The Lord's like, I'm the God of your fathers, man. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm the God who made promises to your fathers. I'm the God who led and guided them through the same desert that you are in right now. I'm the God who blessed them and prospered them and directed their paths. I'm the God who made promises to them, and I will fulfill my promises. That God is the one that was speaking to Moses, and that God reminds Moses that he is that God. You've heard those stories. You've heard those stories about your fathers. You've heard how faithful I was. You've heard of the covenant that I made with your fathers. That's me. I'm here. I'm going to do what I said I would do. And you and I have to remember God. We have to remember who he is. We have to remember he's the God who makes promises. He's the God who's made promises with you and I. He's the God who's told us that he desires to use us, that he desires to put his spirit inside of us, to adopt us into his own family, and to give us his name. That's the God that we serve. And when we come before him, we respond, we revere, but we remember his character. We remember that he is who he says he is. And next week, we're actually going to talk about that. But that's who the Lord God is. We remember when we come before him, when he shows up, we remember who he is. Because when we remember who he is, we know we can trust him. We can place our trust in him. So I want to ask you this morning, I want to ask you to do that. There's somebody here this morning, and that's exactly what you need. And in these next few moments, that's what you need to do. You need to just respond to God. You need to say, I see you, Lord. I know you are appearing to me. Here I am. I'm here at your disposal, right? We need to revere God. Your holiness is what matters right now. I will do whatever you say that I will do. And we need to remember the faithfulness of God. And we need to remember that we can trust him. And in these next few moments, I'm going to ask you to do that. And I'm going to ask you just to step out there and just to lean into trusting God. There's going to be someone down here at the front. You might need somebody to pray for you in just a moment. You might need someone to just lift you up because you're struggling with doubt and insecurity in your life. And now you need to just surrender that to the Lord. He's showing up in your life this morning. Will you respond to him? Who here this morning is willing to say to the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of heaven's armies, here I am. And I belong to you. That's what all of this is about. And I want to challenge you this morning to do that. So we're going to sing. We're going to sing a song, but this isn't a singing time. We don't have this time just so that we can sing. We have this time because we believe when the Lord shows up, we're supposed to respond. And there's somebody here this morning, the Lord has shown up in your life. And now it's time for you to respond. Let me pray for you. Father God, we need you. We trust you. Lord, in these moments, Lord, I know that you are revealing yourself to folks in this room today. I know you are. And God, I just pray that you would give those folks courage. I pray you would give them the courage to acknowledge that you are here, to respond to you, and to surrender themselves to you this morning. Move in us, Lord God. Speak to us, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray.